I'm a hador. I'm a cook. All of the years that he was in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook was urging, was pleading with the yeshuv, the old yeshuv and the new yeshuv, to join koyches, to come together. And he believed that the only way this is possible was by means of new and fresh idealism, which he called the Tchiyah, the revival, the resurrection of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And this idealism that he was dreaming of would lift up Am Yisrael from the milchamas, not only the milchamas between one party and the other party, one group and the other group, but the internal milchamas within the communities themselves and within the individuals themselves. And because there was a hisgalus of a tremendous, tremendous aura of idealism in the young generation, Rav Kook believed that it was the Shas HaKosher, there was an aura that came down from Shemayim to bring Am Yisrael together in Eretz Yisrael to prepare for Mashiach, to rise higher than all of the Shemos HaPratim, all of the names, all of the individual separate names of this type and this way, and to return to that highest ideal which he calls the Hisraimus HaGemura HaMisnaseis Adead, Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. To come back to that in the purest way, Ratzon Hashem and Avodas Hashem. And when we as a people and individuals are able to ascend to that higher ideal, then Mimela, we're going to realize that there is nothing that's not holy, that's not great, and that's not pure with working the land, with being a bus driver, with being a farmer. Once one comes to that highest ideal of Avodas Hashem and Ratzon Hashem, then everything is Avodas Hashem. And everything is part of Avodas Hashem. And that's what we're up to in the middle of page 34, where it says, Oz gam ha-chaim ha-ma-isim. It's really the middle of a sentence, or a quick sentence, of 4 or 5 pages. And it's, we were saying just right before that, Gam kol toiv kal v'katan. Gam kol toiv kal v'katan. Just 3-4 lines up, sentence up. Gam kol toiv kal v'katan. Misachtim misargnim ha-chefetz eloki. The slightest little good becomes all part of the great, of that great chefetz eloki, of that great chefetz, that longing and desire of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hasholem atachlis. Oz, and when we realize this and we come to this, Gam ha-chaim ha-maisiyim ha-chavrusiyim mukhrochim heim l'izroimim l'maylus atzilus shel ha-machshova ha-yoseh zaka ha-yoseh mesuna v'yoseh mivareris. Then Rav Kook says, even the chaim ha-maisiyim, even practical life, day-to-day practical life, chaim ha-maisiyim ha-chavrusiyim, social relations, Muchrochem Heimlis Roman will also be lifted to a higher place. In other words, to have this divider, this separation between Ruchnius and Gashmius, the old Yeshuv and the new Yeshuv, is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. That the only Jew is a Jew that sits in the Beis HaMedrash, and that the ones are and those are the from Jews that are the Yuresh to have Yuat Shemaim, and the ones that are out there in the fields, they're detached Chas V'Chalila from Torah Mitzvahs. That can't continue. And when we come back to that place, when we come back to that place of his Hisroimus, of his Snausus, of the ideal, which he said, this door is ready for this, then, Oz Gam HaChaim HaMaisim HaCharusim Uchrochim HaHim L'Hisroimim, then even practical and social life must ascend. L'mailus Atzilus, to a great exalted level, of that thought, of the concept that is most pure, v'yoysim mesuna, v'yoysim of areres, clear and deliberate, not something which is an aberration, something which is separate or different from Yiddishkeit. It was never like that. Our ancestors were roi tzon, they were shepherds, they were farmers, they were great and holy people. Forget, the Rambam says that the reason that the Ovis liked to engage in that malach of being shepherds, because they were able to be, the Rambam says, they were able to be misboide, they were able to get away and to be able to have more kivas elokim. I find it's a very exciting and interesting thing that's going on. I'm talking to a lot of the chevron yeshiva. You wouldn't believe how many of the boys, when they come talk to me, it's an amazing thing. They want to be farmers. Now I remember when I was in yeshiva, there was an old rabbi, he's a very fine person, that he gave us these forms to fill out about, and they were supposed to get an idea, they're supposed to help you get an idea of what you want to do with your life. They had these papers to fill out, and I filled out this thing. It was a long thing, all different kinds of questions, and then the rabbi would speak to you about giving you, like, to counsel you about what you could do with your life. Back, 40 years ago, about 35 years, it wasn't so posh that everybody was going to stay in learning or whatever. And we had this paper, and I filled out the whole thing. And I remember he said to me, well, Mr. Weinberger, based upon what I'm reading here, it looks like you might be interested in agriculture and farming. And I said, no, I hate cows. I hate the dirt. I like air conditioning. I don't know what you're talking about. And that there's a name for the not. I don't know what it's called, but I don't know if they still give it. But I said I don't know what you're talking about. So he said, well, and he starts to point to a couple of these things. And so I said, no, I just like quiet. I like quiet. I'm crazy about quiet. My parents are quiet, and I just like to be in a place that's quiet and it's nice. And I don't mean that I like want to work in the fields or anything like that. I don't like doing that. I like being indoors for that. I don't want to be outside. But what I'm finding now, over the past couple of months, I've had fantastic chashuva bachurim that love learning, and they're talking about being in that kind of a life, like returning to that kind of a world maybe learning something over here. There's some place to learn, which I've been reading about lately. There were a few articles. I tried contacting one of the fellows. There's an old fellow who used to be in Shayosha that he has a farm. Mm-hmm. Upstairs. And there are different opportunities. And one of the guys was trying to contact some mishpach, and I just saw that the Isaac in the earth in Eretz Yisrael to get back to the malach of our ancestors, to the way of our ancestors. And I mean, even the thought of coming home, if I was to tell my mother, my father would have been proud of me, but to tell my mother that I decided I want to be a farmer, she would, I don't know, she was, like, my father would have been proud, my mother would have been horrified. But there's a hishtoikikus, not just for quiet, to get out of the city, there's a hishtoikikus to get back to a certain ideal where there's no disconnect between Shemaim and Aretz. Between heaven and earth, between being a Jew that's filled with Torah, that's filled with Yiras Shamayim, and being connected to the most basic malachis of the lamates malachis of this world, of b'zeis apacha, and to me it's another simon that we're holding by Yimos Mashiach. That a boy who's raised in the city and raised in this culture of high tech and Wall Street and so on, that has such an ideal, to me, it's a siman that it's a bislach, it's the dream that Rav Kook is unfolding. Which doesn't mean to say that one can't be in an office and can't be connected to Hashem wherever you are. But what Rav Kook is speaking about here is that gam kol toiv kal v'katan, it was never embarrassing for a Jew to work with his hands. A major problem we have in Eretz Yisrael is that we got stuck with all the Yishmaelim doing these jobs. A lot of the jobs that the Jews didn't think anymore was for them. They didn't think that it was sugepast for them to do certain things. So then what happened is that who got these jobs? The Yishmaelim are taking these jobs. Half the time they're sabotaging the buildings and the apartments and all these other places that this kid do with all kinds of service. And the Jews are now, and there's a problem, because then how do you get rid of the Ishmaelim if we need them to? I was reading an article, there are more of them that are coming in through the borders now to work. So they give them some sort of a pass, whatever it is. And you can't be under, I think they can't be under 40, the ones that are, I don't remember the age. I think they can't be under 40, the Ishmaelim that are coming into the back into the territory, to, you know, to work. They can't be under 40, because the idea is that the ones that are over 40, they're already moderate. People under 40, so you have to be careful. So when he hits 40, then he comes to a certain godless anefesh, I don't know what. Yeah, bina. So I told you the vart from the Sadmer Rav. You know, there's a famous vart from the Sadmer Rav. There was an 80-year-old Jew that came to the Sadmer Rav by his birthday. And he said that Sadmer Rebbe, he said that he says, Rebbe, I'm 80 years old. Sadmer says, no, he's in Swansea. And he said, Rebbe, Chalchem by Gvuris, you know, 80 is Gvuris, and I don't feel Gvuris. So some Rebbe said to him, I knew you when you were 40, and you weren't holding by Bina either, don't worry. he says, you're not following the program. You weren't smart when you were 40, so you know, it doesn't work for you to do it. So the Yishmaelim are working the land. The Yishmaelim are... And so Rav Kook is saying over here, practical life. Of course, all the Torah of Hashem is in this nekuda. Practical life. Chaim ha'maisim, ha'charusim, muchrochim, hem l'israimim, l'maylas, ha'sil, sh'mashav, ha'yoyis ha'zaka. There shouldn't be any separation between the most practical jobs in this world and the simplest life in this world and machshav ha'yoyis ha'zaka, and the highest and purest thoughts of Kedusha. There's no separation. Hamisna says me'al kol ha'katnas, that rises higher than above all the katnas, all smallness, vahekitnurius, and all of the contentiousness, the fighting, that comes hanimtzos besachtis achayim shenishpal behem ad lechemla, that is found besachtis achayim at the bottom of life, shenishpal behem ad lechemla, it's become so pathetic in Rachmanis. All the smallness, all the arguing, all the fighting, all the kleine kepelach, the kleine kepelach kite. It's a certain smallness, a way of thinking that only those people that are oisik in big inyanim are big people. Those are the big people. And the people that are oisik in regular things are small people. So then even the big people that are oisik in big things become small people. It's not the tzur of Am Yisrael. The tzur of Am Yisrael is godless. And what he calls idealius, idealism. Hanmsos besachtes echaim shenishpol behem ad lechemla. He says, "Hahamain ad shahurid elov gam es soifrov gedolov." This is what I was just saying. Because of the overall cutness, the smallness, and the lack of idealism, and the materialism, that as a result of that, gam es that even the writers and even the gedolim of the people have been schlepped down into smallness, have been dragged down into smallness. Remember, we were talking about that earlier. It used to be that there were a few yechidim. We spoke a lot earlier in the year where there were a few yechidim that were great, that were exalted, and that they were apart and separate in that place. So Rav Kook says that that's not happening anymore. Even the Sofrim and the Gedolim are being dragged down into the katnus, into the smallness. At Shepoal Gam Aleihem, Shiyachshivu Gamhema, to the point that this had such an effect upon even the Sofrim and the Gedolim, even the great people, even the writers and the great people. Shiyachshivu Gamhema, ki kol emes yose nisa. To the point that they also think, ki kol emes yose nisa, that the higher and the greater and the more exalted a truth is, and the higher and more exalted a certain thought and a way of thinking is, I'll explain in a second here, to the point that even the Sofrim and the Gedolim think that when there's an idea that is great and that is exalted, even the greatest ideas, these exalted ideas, they have no connection to practical life. So you say over a Torah in Pnimis to somebody, and he says, "Nah, that's fluff. That's just a nice idea. There's no bearing upon practical life." There's been such a wedge between Shemayim and Eretz, between the ideal and the material, between the higher ideal and practical life, that even the Chacham and the Sofrim and the Gedolim, when they talk about great ideas, they don't think that it has any bearing upon day-to-day life. It's just, they live in the world of ideas. That any idea that does rise above the depths, the depths that we've fallen into, besigras yad, meaning like a sigras yad is like a lashon of a tagu, is a schayr biyad, like of physical life, hamahuma of confusion and ba'arus and foolishness and stupidity. So any ideal that rises above day-to-day practical life is seen as something that has no connection to practical life. So the philosophers and the thinkers, they talk about all kinds of stuff, and they have all these beautiful ideas and essays and poems, but they themselves don't see this as anything other than ideas and concepts, not anything that has any real place in life, not anything that has a place in practical life. So this separation between the ideal and the material, between Shemayim and Eretz, Rav Kook says that this separation, the time has come for this to end, and it's a Shas Kosher, because idealism is now coming, he says, from people who are davka, lav davka Chachamim and Sofrim and Gedolim. We find idealism by simple people. We find this idealism, a certain kind of an idealism, and an excitement to rescue Am Yisrael and to build up Eretz Yisrael. We find this by simple Jews, whose hands are mamish in the ground, whose feet are on the earth. So we have to make a shidduch between these worlds. If you look there in the little note on the side, Sofrov Gudolov, he explains that davka mitoch hashkofer ruchanis idealistis, that davka through this hashkofer of idealism, hamisnaseis l'mroman, davka through this idealism that's misnaseis l'mroman, that's ascends to the highest heights, mekablam hachayim ha'artziyim v'hamaisim hashmos v'tochen, then the lowest depths of life become meaningful. Davka, by connecting to the highest heights, to the lowest depths become important. Davka in such a way. Everything then has mashmos and tochen. Everything in your life has meaning, has depth. But when a person descends completely into materialism, and he loses any sense of idealism, then everything, even things that are even ruchnisdike things, become defiled and become low. And you can build an egel azov. You can build a golden calf. Ma'isi de'adam. You build something with your own hands, a physical thing. You know, what's the egel azov? The egel azov means that the highest ideal became lowered, descended into an egel azov, into a golden calf. Even Elokus, what's Avodah Zarah? That even Elokus can't be perceived from a higher perspective. That godliness is perceived as something physical. You can't perceive anything from a higher perspective. You don't see things in a higher way. Akadekach, that even your perception of Elokus is something that it can only be something that you make with your own hands. Is something which is physical, something which is of the earth. Akadekach, is it possible for a human being to descend into materialism? But when a person lives in a place of idealism, in that highest world of those highest thoughts, and he understands that the tachlis is nisava lo yisbarach liyazdir b'sachtonim, that Hashem's desire and will, as we are learning in all these parashiyas, is for the Shekhinah Kedosha to descend into this world, not in the form of a golden calf, but in the form of golden thoughts and golden emotions and dveikus b'Hashem, not physical gold. But Dr. Tachashkov Ruchonisi Delistis Hamisnas is a man with Kabul Machaim Haatsi by Maisi Mashmos Vitochen. And that's Dr. what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh wanted. The Baal Shem Tov wanted farmers who would tzaddikim. That doesn't mean he didn't want people who were also sitting and learning. That was always seen as being Yechidei Skula. There were individuals who were cut out to stay in the Bais Medrash. So you had in the Shtiblach, you had in the Bate Medrashim, you had Yidden that they sat there. That was their job, to sit and learn all day. But for the most part, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh saw the ideal of Yiddishkeit materializing in the simple Jews, in the Hamaynam. They were working. That they should be Heilig Yidden. They should be great Jews. Because then everything in life is Elokus. Everything becomes meaningful. Mitzvahs asay v'lois asay. That's why we're surrounded by mitzvahs asay v'lois asay. And a farmer who works in Eretz Yisrael, is every single step that he takes, he's surrounded by mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. He's never separated from the Torah. The Rebbe Yishlom gave the Torah in such a way that a farmer in Eretz Yisrael is a person who's sitting with a medrash. If he stops learning for a second, if his mind is drifting someplace, and he's in big trouble. Because he's not necessarily surrounded. If he looks away from the Gemara, he's separated from Chalili, separated from Elokus for that minute. But a guy that's walking in Eretz Yisrael, every step that he's taken is surrounded by Mrs. Asay and Mrs. Leis Asay. Every single step that he takes, he can't forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every step that he takes, mitzvahs, to know what the halachas are, not only by Shemitah. Then when things are the way they're supposed to be, Shemitah and Yovel the way it's supposed to be, and all the mitzvahs HaTluyas Baruch to be kept the way they're supposed to be kept. He's not Mesiach Das from the Baruch Shalom. For a second, he's not Mesiach Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every step that he takes, and the air that he breathes in from the fertilizer, it's all Elokus. It's all Mrs. Hasei, Mrs. Loises. Shelo kefi shechoshim hasofrim bali hashkofa hamaterialistas. Unlike the writers, the materialists, habozim liidelim hamrachvim lecharum unutakim and hamitzias. So they could talk all day long about the most beautiful emotions of love and drag them into the lowest, dirtiest places, the filthiest places. Love is a very, very great ideal. But because of this separation between Shemayim and Aretz, so you have these writers who are materialists, they make fun, they look down upon concepts and ideas that are Munutakim and Hametzias, that are separated in their opinion, that have nothing to do with Metzias. So from both ends. So you have great people who are in the depths of Torah, but they don't feel it has any relevance to their practical life. And then you have people that are these writers that are not from, that are not Shemitah Torah Mitzvahs, and even what they write about, even the things that they're writing about, they take down to the lowest place, because they don't see that there's any relevance to the concepts, to the ideas that are being discussed in the Beis HaMedrash. They don't see any connection to that. And they make fun. They make fun of people talking about, they were making fun of Rav Kook. He's talking about all these great things, and they said, that has nothing to do with life. But the materialists and the old Jews from the old Yeshuv had that in common. Both of them agreed that Torah has nothing to do with life. It's a scary thing. Both of them agreed that the only place where there's Torah is in the Beis HaMedrash. And the Torah does not belong, what he was saying before, in the Chaim HaMaisim HaChavrusim, in practical life. Torah is not part of practical life. So both the old Jews in the Beis HaMedrash, they didn't see any connection between what they were learning and what they're thinking about and day-to-day life in the world. And then the new Jews, who were embedded in materialism, many of these, meaning these writers that he's talking about, when they look at Torah, they look at the Beis HaMedrash, they see it as something which has no shachis to reality. There's no shachis to reality. It doesn't have anything, no bearing upon my life. So they became lost completely in the Egel Azov. They were lost in the Egel Azov. With all of that, Rav Kook said, the Dor, the Hamoin of the simple Jews, not the writers and the big thinkers, that were excited about working the land, that were excited about building up Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, he saw that in that idealism, he saw a certain ruchnius that he felt would be very relative, would be very, very easy to connect back to the ruchnius of Limud HaTorah and Shemiras HaMitzvos. There was a ruchnius there. There was a ruchnius. There was an idealism. There was a ruchnius. They weren't materialistic people. They were living in swamps. They were meiser nefesh. They were living miserable lives. And in terms of gashmius, they lived terrible lives of deprivation. We wouldn't last for a minute the way they were living, these people. But there was a ruchnius. There was a ruchnius that they were looking for. But they were looking for it in the land. And when they saw a firm person as somebody who has no shaykhis to the land. He just has his little place in some little corner in Yerushalayim. Or in Tzvas, or in Tveria, or wherever, and there's not a shaychus to us. This separation. This is the Eretz Yisrael that Rav Kook was in. And in many ways, it still is like that. It still is like that. So they saw that Hinam Dvarim She'en Lam Yachas Yasher Im Achayim HaKayam B'Mitzias. All of the things that are being learned in the Beis HaMedrash and the things that the Talmid Chacham are talking about had no yachas, had no kesher to Chaim Kayam B'Metzias, to anything that exists in Metzias in reality. V'omnam, Rak HaDerech HaPoyneh Al Rum HaMachshova V'HaYidielius. Only the path that turns towards Rum HaMachshav, to the highest thoughts, Vahi Idelius and idealism. Rak Hu Meir Es Achayim, only these thoughts can illuminate all of life. All of life. Umemalom Tzachtzoches Viziv. Remember his tainas against the Jews in the Beis HaMedrash also. They're not learning. This is what we're learning in the whole Arya Satara. They're not learning Rum HaMachshav Eidelus. They're only learning. They're only learning the sugyas in Shas and Poskim, and they're not learning Pnimius HaTorah for the most part. They're not going to that place of Rum HaMachshav Eidelus. So you can have a person that even the person that sits in the Beis Medrash all day. So he's not working the land, but he's all day long talking about the land. He's not out there. He's just talking about farmers. Right? He's talking about animals. Shosh Nagach HaSapar. He's talking about the world, but he's not in the world. He's talking about the world. So that you have two groups that Rav Kook said there were two groups in Eretz Yisrael when he got there. There are the old Jews that are sitting in the Beis Medrash who are talking about the world, and then there are the young Jews that are living in the world. The ones that are talking about the world and the ones that were living in the world. What they both had in common, what they both shared in common, is that neither of them, for the most part, were thinking about something higher than the world. They weren't thinking about anything higher than the world. So in the Beis Medrash, that all day long they're going into the Shakla V'Tayu, into the Pilpulim about the sugis that are all about the world. They're not learning Kuzari and Maharal. They're not learning Tanya and Nefesh HaChaim. They're talking about the world. They're thinking about Gashmias. And the sugyas are all sugyas that they're learning. The mefalfel in sugyas and Gashmias and Arachayim and sugyas and Cheshmishpat and Yodaya and Evan Ezer. That's all they're mefalfel in. They're talking about material things all day long. And when there was an occasional agadith in the Gemara, of course, the real Lamdonim would skip that. That wasn't for Talmud Chacham. So all day long they're talking about material things. All the learning is about is pilpulim, is dissecting material things. That's one chevra. And then the other chevra, all day long, they're just doing physical things. So that's what Cook says. Rak haderech hapone al rum hamachshava v'ha'idelius. Rum hamachshava v'ha'idelius. And it's interesting because in certain ways, the chevra that was out in the fields in certain ways responded more strongly to Rav Kook than the guys that were in the Beis Medrash. Only now, it's a bit like things are changing. But back then, the farmers responded in a stronger way to Rav Kook than many of the old yeshuv in Yerushalayim and in Tzfas. They heard more what Rav Kook is saying. Because he said, he understood that there was a certain idealism, a certain freshness that they had that was not in the Beis Medrash. And they were more attuned to hearing this. That's why, as we learned over all of the years that was Zeicher to learn Rav Kook's Torah, that Rav Kook was pushing so hard for the writers. He was trying so hard to be makarev the poets and the artists and the writers. The old yeshiva screaming that they're all treif. There was an interesting article last week that I remember which magazine it was in, either Amir or Mishpacha, about a very choshev Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chaim Sabato. So Rav Sabato the article was written about Rav Sabato, who's a Rosh Yeshiva. He's from Aladum, he's a Rosh Yeshiva. And he's written some very, very important novels. He's written some important novels that are best-selling novels in Eretz Yisrael, even among Chilonim, even among Jews who are not religious. He's an exceptionally talented writer of Sabato. So there was a letter. Written afterwards that somebody wrote a letter that said, when I first saw the name of the article, Rosh Yeshiva and novelist, I said, how could that be? How could there be such a thing as a Rosh Yeshiva novelist? And he says, then I read it, and I'm so impressed with his Yoshimayim, his Amunah. I mean, he's a very great person, this Rosh Sabbath. I'm so impressed with him. But the question is, when I saw the words Rosh Yeshiva and novelist, it seemed to me to be a complete and total paradox. It can't be a Rosh Yeshiva writes a novel. It can't be. You should see some of the things that Ramchal wrote. Ramchal wrote drama, wrote plays. He wrote romantic drama. It was all about Kutcher Bichon and the Shechina. It was never put on stage. It didn't make it to Broadway, in this thing. Ramchal, if you ever come to that, Ramchal on Broadway. Pastor Sholem. But how could there be such a thing as a Rashi was a novelist?
Nachman's stories.
Huh?
Nachman's stories.
Right. And people who don't get it, they look at that as being like, what is that? They also don't get that, Rabbi Nachman's stories.
Shira Shirim mostly.
Yeah. And that's why Chazal was so frightened that Shira Shirim was going to be, and it has been, it made it to Broadway, Shira Shirim. I'm just using that, of course, figuratively, but it made it to Broadway. The most romantic story that was ever written is Shira Shirim. Rav Kook, in his Akdom to Shira Shirim, his Akdom to Shira Shirim is all that we're learning about. Shabbos HaGadol around 17, 18 years ago in the gym, I spoke about Rav Kook's Hakdama to Shir Hashirim. That from that ahava, from that love, Rabbi Akiva said it's Kodesh Kadosh. Kol Hashirim Kodesh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadosh. Why is Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kadosh? Because Shir Hashirim reveals that the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be found in the most pure and basic impulse of human will, which is love. Which is for Rabbi Kiva, who loved Rachel Bas Kalba Savur. Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Hashirim Kodesh. All the Shirim that talk about religious things, they're all Kodesh. Shir Hashirim, it doesn't say once the name of God. It's Kodesh Kadosh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadosh. Rabbi Nachman spoke about tzaddikim of Shir Hashirim. But there's a tzaddik that in certain things you don't see that he does certain things and he's Isaac in certain things and you don't see that it looks like it's anything that has to do with Avodas Hashem. Just like in Shir Hashirim, it doesn't look like it's Avodas Hashem and Hashem's name is not there. It's Kodesh Kadosh. It's the holiest of holies. The holiest of holies. The kedusha of Shir Hashirim, that is Kodesh Kadoshim, is that's where Shemayim and Aretz are meeting. Where Jews' Hasaga of Elokus is that it comes like Rabbi Kiva saw it in Bar Kochba. We were in Zoycha with Bar Kochba. We were in Zoycha. It could have been. What do you think? Rabbi Kiva didn't know what he was doing. Rabbi Kiva was much smarter than us, and Rabbi Kiva voted for Bar Kochba. In the election back then, he voted for Bar Kochba, and there was and Rabbi Kiva was, as you know, was not only involved; he was spearheading the rebellion against Rome. Rabbi Kiva, can you imagine nowadays a Rosh Hashiva like that? Forget about novelist and Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Kiva, novelist and Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Kiva. The same Rabbi Akiva who says that if Yahavtla, the Recha Kamarich is called Golda B'Torah. The same Rabbi Akiva who died, Vahavtla Shem Lakecha, he died with those words, Yotza Nishmasa B'Tahara, Be'echad. Echad. Shema Yisrael Shem Akeno Hashem, Echad. Hashem is one. Hashem is one means not only in one place, not the other place. It means Hashem, Echad is Elokus. Everything is Elokus. Everything is Elokus. So therefore, when the Gemara talks about Rabbi Kiva's relationship with Rachel Bas Kalba Savur, the Gemara is not embarrassed to talk about what Rabbi Kiva had with Rachel Bas Kalba Savur. I'm not even going to go, you know this story. The Gemara tells such a story. It's really the only love story like that you have in the Gemara. It's such prote. And he's the same person that said Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadosh. And he's the same person, V'ahavta Recha Kamoicha, V'ahavta Shem Lokecha. And he's the same person that led the merit against the Romans. What's Rabbi Akiva? Kodesh Kadosh. Because what's Kodesh Kadosh? Kodesh Kadosh is that place on earth, it's a physical place. You could get there with your GPS. It's on the GPS, Kodesh Kadosh. You could put in Kodesh HaKadosh into your GPS, into the Waze, whatever you like. Put in Kodesh HaKadosh. And there's a place, Kodesh HaKadosh. Put in Evan HaShisiyah. It's on the GPS, and you go there. It's a place in this world. It's a physical place. It's a physical place. And that physical place, Chazal say, Nashke Shmaya V'ara, that heaven and earth kiss and meet at that place. So why did Rabbi Akiva call Shir Hashirim Kodesh HaKadosha? Because the Gili of Elokus of Nisav Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyos Liyos Baruch Dira B'Sachtonim is Mezgala in the Kodesh Kadosh in the strongest way. That this physical world, Lamata Me'asara Tvachim, this physical world that we walk upon, that we live in, this physical world is a place of V'Osi L'Mikdash V'Shechanti B'Soicham, it's a place of Hashvaros Hashchin, of Dira B'Sachtonim. It's Hashvaros Hashchin in this physical world. That Gili was most powerful by the Kodesh Kadosh. And therefore, Shir Hashirim is Kodesh HaKadosh. It's not just Kodesh. Shir Hashirim is Kodesh HaKadosh. is that nekuda where human love and the love of Hashem are all the same thing. It's all one. Loving another person and loving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we learned in Derech Mitzvasechem, the Samach Tzadik, the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. That the true mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael is understanding that my hava for this other person, because he's a shtikel lakus, just like I am. Because he has a chelak elokamimal inside of him, just like I do. Mitzad the guf, it's all separations. Mitzad the nisham, mitzad Hashem echad. How could one person, how could one Jew not love another Jew? It's all echad. It's all echad. So the Rabbi Kiva's way of thinking, by Rabbi Kiva taking out a weapon and going out with Bar Kochba and fighting against the Romans, by Rabbi Kiva, it's Kodesh Kadosh. There's no chilik to him. How could it be that Rabbi Akiva, the Gadol Hador, is doing such a thing? It doesn't befit him to do such a thing, to get himself. It wouldn't have befit David HaMelech either for these. But Bar Kochba, Rabbi Akiva, Kodesh Kadoshim, this whole sugya of Rabbi Akiva. But we have such a problem in Am Yisrael being able to come to terms with this, even though it's the tachlis of our lives. Rabbi Akiva had to come from Gerim. He had to come from outside. Rabbi Akiva didn't come from inside. He came from outside. It's a pellet. That's how difficult it is for us to make this happen. Rabbi Akiva is a ben game. Rabbi Akiva's neshama came from outside. I mean, and the Shama came from, of course, but he himself came from outside of Am Yisrael. And David Melech also. That there were questions and problems and issues with the Yichus. Ad kidei kach, the Jews have a problem seeing this. Jews see Ruchnius as Ruchnius and Gashmius as Gashmius. So therefore, Jews, when it comes to Ruchnius, are the most Ruchnius to go, Heilige, 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 Tzadikim, all Ruchnius. And when it comes to Gashmius, oi, Achei Noida Hadavar, then Jews, again, the Gashmi is the money and money and money and money in this world and this world and this world. There's nobody that could beat us when it comes to that. When it comes to Gashmi, it's unbeatable. Unbeatable when it comes to Gashmi. But if you tell a Jew, what about trying a dual program of Ruchnis and Gashmi's? Why don't you try to make these two work out together? No. There's Ruchnis and there's Gashmi's. There's Shemaim and there's Arts. There's a Shashiva and there's a novelist. These are two different worlds. There's some silly little shepherd that's writing love songs for his girlfriend from Ein Gedi, and then you have Shlomo HaMelech. You don't have Shlomo HaMelech is the author of Shir Hashirim. You know that Shir Hashirim is Shlomo. It's hard to argue with that. Yishakem Yishigas Pia. What's the king? Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest person in the world. Shlomo HaMelech is there with the talking about them. The melech with the simple girl from Ein Gedi that was a shidduch. And look at all the psukim from Shir Hashirim. If Shlomo Melech would have filled out that form that I did, he would have said he wanted to be a farmer or to work in a vineyard. All the psukim of Shir Hashirim are, kemat all the psukim are talking about the love that takes place and that is fulfilled outside. Nalina b'kfarim. Shvakim, Barachayvais, Sham Eiten is Dodelach. There I will give you my love. There I will show you my love. It doesn't say indoors. Sham Eiten is that. All the descriptions of the world. Karmi Shili Loi Natarati. It's all about in the world. Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech who built the Beis HaMikdash. Who built the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Chibur of Shemayim and Aretz, which is Gashmius and Ruchnius coming together. Which is the highest, highest ideal that materializes in the physical world. In this world that we live in. The highest ideal in this world. That's the Dior B'Tachton. That's the Ratzon Hashem. That's Avodas Hashem. That's Ratzon Hashem. The highest ideal in this world. Can you imagine what people would say about Rabbi Akiva if Rabbi Akiva was nowadays? What they'd say about him. What they said about Rav Kook, and Rav Kook lived such a life of precious. What did he do? He never lifted his eyes to look at it. He was Tzadik Yisad Oil, lived a life of complete precious, of Kiddush and Tahara, and what they made from Rav Kook. And you have Rabbi Akiva now going out with a hand grenade someplace. learns that Rabbi Akiva, this separation is what Rav Kook was crying about the whole time. The Tachlis is that the highest ideals, only by, he said, Amnam Rak Haderach HaPoyne El Rum HaMachshava VeHidelius. Rum HaMachshava VeHidelius. Rak Hu Meir Es HaChayim. Only that can illuminate every single corner of life. Every single inch of life. What was the Beis HaMikdash about? We're starting Sefer Yikra today. This week, Shabbos is Vayikra. What's Vayikra? Vayikra. Can you imagine people like us, refined people like us, chashuva people like us, so with all kinds of BAs and MAs and whatever, all kinds of degrees and chashuva jobs, can you imagine being a Beis HaMikdash? A big shlachtos, huh? Blood all over the place. Smell of animals, no good. Smell of animals, you ever smell an animal? I don't mean a living one. When it's geschachted, the smell. The worst, over 30 years ago, we had a class trip in the high school, the boys, and we went in Crown Heights on Albany Street. We went to I was learning Chulin with the guys. We were learning Chulin, so I wanted to show them the Shechita. So I took them to the Schlachthaus, to this place with not cows, it's chickens. I took them to the Schlachthaus over there, and the guys were totally turned off to ritual slaughter. Remember the Sheikh, it was like a glass thing, and he was a very sweet guy. He was a Lubavitcher guy. He was very, very sweet, and he was standing behind his glass. I was there with the boys, and I was trying to explain to him different things. And the Sheikh was like missing all of his teeth in the front, and he held up the chicken to show everybody, and the blood was going all over him. It was dripping, and the guy's going, "Ah!" So now I'm standing there trying to say, "No, this is what we were learning about this, and we learned that, and we learned this." And they said, Beis HaMikdash. What was the Beis HaMikdash? What do you think is the Beis HaMikdash? You think it was a wine and cheese tasting event? big parlor meeting over there, the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was Shemayim and Aretz. Reach Nichoach L'Hashem. This world. This physical world. From this world. It's the Tachlis HaBriyah. But if you're going to have just a Beis HaMikdash, if it's just going to be shechting and salting and sprinkling, but without the idealism, without the machshavos, without understanding what's the pnimius of a carbon, without learning what that means in pnimius, and learning Pnimius HaTorah, what is a carbon without learning the deepest Torah? So then the Beis HaMikdash becomes a big Shlachthaus. And that's what the Nevi'im were screaming about. And that's what was going on at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It became a marketplace. It became a shuk. Because whenever you have that separation between Shemayim and Arts, even the Beis HaMikdash. But the closer you get now to the Kosel when you go on the Rova, but the place is all kedusha over there in the old city of Yerushalayim. Besides the goyim that are there, besides the tumah that's all around. We're standing not a kilometer. We're standing a couple hundred meters away from the Har HaBayis, from the Kodesh Kedoshim, and screaming about get this pizza, get that pizza. The eternal war of pizza shops in the old city. Screaming and yelling and all to be completely shaku and gashmi is where you could see the Arabayas from there. You could see the Arabayas. That separation is what Rav Kook is talking about. Rakat from the Rakadar Hapinal Rumachov Delish Raku Meir Sachaim Umamalam tachtachos v'ziv. Only the highest thoughts and ideals can illuminate life and fill life with tachtachos, all the shining lights, v'ziv and radiance, l'hishivam al besisam hanohalhem, to establish physical life upon the basis, upon the reality that's been designated for physical life. That physical life is supposed to be illuminated with elokus. Lifitivam ha'atzmi, according to the very nature of all that exists, hagonus ba'omek kol lev nefesh, that is hidden deep within every heart and every soul, is Hashem. Within everything that exists and everything, it's Hashem. And this was seen as very dangerous. What Rav Kook is saying seemed very dangerous. And it still, this would be seen in many, many circles as being something that is very dangerous. I told it to one of the chevri yesterday, there was a vart that was by the, there was the old, the Rachim Strifke, Rebbe Susi Elenu, that was Niftaf some years back. So it was a big, big Kaddish, it was a big Oved Hashem. And there was somebody that was brought to him, an older Jew. No, he wasn't so old, but he was the person said about this. He wanted to introduce him to the Rebbe, and he said that this chassid is a fatzaitish chassid. Wasn't even a fatzaitish chassid. I mean, he's like a chassid from the old days, as a compliment. He's a fatzaitish chassid. It's like the real thing. He introduced him to the Rachim Stufkes of a Tzaitish Chosid from the old days of Chosid. Not like the, of a Tzaitish Chosid. So it was before Pesach, so the Rachim Stufkes said like this, he says, Mitchila, he says, Oiv Devadazar, he says. Fatzaitish, he says, the Oiv Devadazar. It's the old ways, he says, this Rachim Stufkes, the old way, he says, is Avadazar. The only way to serve God, he said, is v'achshav. Stop telling me about v'atzaitish, old-time chassidim. V'achshav. Our job is in this generation, the Rebbe said. Now. What does Hashem want from us right now? V'achshav, if you live in that way, v'achshav, kervan ha'amok and levados, then the Baruch Hashem brings you near to him. Stop talking about it used to be, how it used to be. Oh, it used to be about v'atzaitish, it used to be. What used to be, how there used to be this, it used to be Hashem, used to be Chassidim, used to be the Baal Shem Tov, used to be all these good things. So he says that's Avodah Zarah. Why is it called Avodah Zarah? Mitchila Avodah Zarah, how you all are saying. What does it mean, Mitchila? That philosophy that right now is irrelevant and all you talk about is Mitchila? Because it's called Avodah Zarah because it doesn't connect to what's right now. It's Zarah, it's strange. It doesn't have a bearing upon your life right now. The avoda is v'achshav. What does Hashem want from us v'achshav, right now? V'achshav. And when you live that way of v'achshav, then it's kevon ha'makom avodasa. Then it has. So you could still talk about how we used to, the chinuch of the children, it used to be like this. Now I don't see what the problem is. It used to be like this. I had to have a discussion this week with somebody that there's in a certain place where there's this rabbi that he's still beating up the kids in cheder. He's still smacking the kids in cheder, and it's a whole Indian that's going on. And he said that he was telling me that this is the true chinuch, this is the old chinuch. He's saying that this is not the right way. What are you talking about? And he starts to say that they did it about the tzaddikim, and he starts to tell me, you know, he tells this pasuk and this chazal. So this is all mitchila v'dazar. That's not the aura right now of chinuch in the world. It's not right now. The inyan of chinuch is ahava and is chesed and har oros panim. It's not. Patching. It's not patching. I'm not saying that it wasn't once such a thing. There was a hanaga like that. That was that kufa. And now, v'achshav, there's a different time. It doesn't go. The v'achshav now is different. That's mitchila. That's a fatay. It's a method that was whatever. I'm not saying it didn't exist. But the v'achshav, it's not. So stop talking about how it used to be 50 years ago. That when you beat up a kid, he would become more firm. Stop talking about that. You beat up a kid now, he's just going to either beat you up, or he's for sure going to become less firm. So, what are you talking about? This is the true path. This is the true way in chinuch. And then you open up some of these, so you have these svarim that are written by people that are verzeitische Bali Musa, verzeitische Chassid. And they're talking schmoozen from 50, 60 years ago. They were very great in those days, but it's not va'achshav. What's the va'achshav? How do we reach the kids now? How do we talk to Jews now? What's the va'achshav? That's what the Rebbe was saying. The Rechab Strivka Rebbe is a big holy tzaddik. He said, mitchila, don't tell me he's a verzeitische Yid. I want va'achshav. How do you talk to Jews now? Va'achshav. What do we do now to serve the Baruch Hu? Hashem is Baruch Shabim Akar, Vashlava.